From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. It's a brand new week and a brand new opponent is scheduled to come into Kansas City and play your Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to get all into that with Matt Derrick coming up here real quick, but you're brought to you today by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Like I said, Matt's coming up here, a twisted kind of weekend. This last game definitely threw us for a loop, but we know that the Cleveland Browns will be the team. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and your host over at RGR Football.
And I'm Chris Clark, the guy that called the Cleveland Browns 100% for a loss in this game. So there you go.
I wasn't even going to bring it up.
Well, I'll call myself out on that. I did not see that game coming. But, you know, honestly, you sit there and you look at it, and the Cleveland Browns pretty much won that game in the first quarter. Four touchdowns in the first quarter for them, winning the game 48-37. Phenomenal game for them. And congratulations to the Browns and the Browns fans. They, you know, glad that they got off that playoff schneid. And honestly, other than the Chiefs at this point, you look at the rest of the AFC, the Bills win. They are off the playoff schneid as well, and so are the Baltimore Ravens and, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody got a little piece that they wanted to make something, and now they all get to go up against the big dog in the race and see what happens. And so I have to say, I feel pretty good. What's that?
You take their loss like a man.
Yeah, right. Knock on wood, anyway. I thought the other side of the playoff bracket was really interesting. I will say this. I think if Alex Smith plays in that game, the Washington football team wins.
Well, I don't know, dude. Taylor Heineke looked pretty good from what I saw.
He did look pretty good.
And I really do think that he could have a future. I'm not going to say he could be a great starter, but I do think he has a future in the NFL, at least at a higher level backup, at the very least, in my opinion, just based on that one game. But one game does not a career make, so we'll have to see how that happens. Really quick, before we go into the rest of this, the Chiefs do play the Cleveland Browns at 2:05 Arrowhead time on Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Get that out there.
Yeah, I'm glad you did, because I'll mess up the time zone in some way or another, and that's just the way that it goes.
Well, you're in the mountain.
Yeah, it is what it is. That said, I think honestly,
how about the Rams?
Right. I mean, that was my big mistake of the weekend. I got into a series of silly arguments that I'm not going to cover here, but. I was taken aback by just how well the team played, not just the defense. We knew the Rams defense was going to be pretty good. I thought that this was going to be a Seattle win pretty easily. It clearly got away from them. And I thought it was really the offense side of the ball that I think really outshined what I expected them to do.
Well, and the crazy thing to me in that game is you have John Wolford as your starter. And he gets hurt in, I can't remember if it's the first quarter or the second quarter, and Jared Goff has to come in and play. And that was talked about. The one thing I saw on Twitter all before that game was, so Goff isn't healthy enough to start, but he's healthy enough to come in for an emergency. 95% of the time, you don't have to worry about the backup quarterback, but in this game you did, and Goff came in and played.
And got a starter level replacement. That's great. I don't know what that means for their future. That's going to be really interesting, but
it will be.
I thought it was an interesting move by McVay. I don't think anyone knows what was going on there, but McVay. So we might find out someday.
It's probably the way he wants it.
Exactly. That said, we knew what happened with Stefanski tonight, that he wasn't there. I thought it was a pretty impressive win for the Cleveland Browns. I think I'm a little relieved that they don't have to play the wide receiver group from the Steelers. And I think coming up next, we're going to get in with Matt and get his impression of where we are, the very, very early take of Chiefs versus Browns coming up next week. The NFL playoffs have officially started. I'm pretty excited about that. And there's plenty to talk about. And a lot of it comes down to if you want to be part of the action or not. There's one place that you can be covered and one place that you can trust, and that's betonline.ag.
Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. Go check out BetOnline.ag.
And we are back on a late show with Matt Derrick because he had time and we didn't have a game to cover. How are you, Matt?
I think I'm okay. Getting ready for an interesting week, I think.
Right? It's going to be a lot of fun. Masks on, everyone. Masks on. But I think this game right now, as we watch the tail end of it, it is going to be the Cleveland Browns coming to town And I think that the tale of this game is that Ben Roethlisberger gives and then he takes away. Your thoughts in general about how this game went down and how they look?
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are going to be a favorite going into this game. And I will tell you one thing is that if Patrick Mahomes throws four interceptions, then the Chiefs are in trouble. I mean, that was the story of this game. I mean, if Ben does not turn over the football in just some really inexplicable ways.
Well, in the snap, too.
I mean, the turnovers were what killed him. I mean, that was absolutely the ball game. I mean, even look at the final score. I mean, and surprisingly, the Steelers didn't get a stop either. And that was a big part of it. But give it to the Browns. I mean, they took advantage of the opportunities. The offense, especially the run game, was really sharp, which you wouldn't expect with the issues that they had on the offensive line. I mean, I think there's the four hottest teams are left right now. And I still think the Browns are probably the fourth of that group, but there's a reason why they're still here.
You know, I have to look at this game and I have to say that this really is the Steelers team I expected that they were most of the season. I think that they had a softer schedule and I think that's why they started off the way they did and failed towards the end of the season. But the other thing I will say about this game is, you can't, generally speaking, you can't spot a team 28 points and expect to be able to come back and win unless you have Patrick Mahomes. And then you can maybe do 24 points. He's done that a couple of times. This game has just been ridiculous. I cannot believe the Steelers played as bad as they did in the first half, in the first quarter, honestly.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm with you quite a bit on the Steelers because, especially the last 6 weeks, I would say, they reminded me a lot of the 2013 Chiefs. I mean, yeah, this was a team that jumped out to a hot start and an extended start. But I never really felt that they were that good. And then you look at them down the stretch, and I mean, and I think that they showed that this is the team who they are.
They only had two teams that they played in the first 12 weeks that had a winning record.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, to me, they always look like they were overrated. But and this, I think, shows that.
I can't argue with either of you. It's one thing for that. It's also another thing to go into that stadium having spent your whole season fighting to get there, having probably more COVID issues than any other team for the Browns, coming in, beating them last week to get into the playoff round and coming back with even less resources, including the head coach, the play caller. Kudos to them for getting around that obstacle of not having your play caller, your head coach on the field. Mike Prefer, a guy who's been in Kansas City, kudos to him. Everybody seemed to play with a chip on their shoulder for the Cleveland Browns, and I think that also went into the aspect of putting nails in the coffin whenever they had the opportunity.
Yeah. And, and you bring up the COVID issues and who they didn't have. And to me, what's interesting is that, with teams that have had the COVID issues this year, unless you get decimated, like when the Browns had to play without their entire wide receiver core or the Broncos had to play without a quarterback. Otherwise, this season, when we've seen teams get bit by the COVID bug in a bad way, they seem to rise to the challenge. I mean, it seems to be one of those things that rallies the team. And I think you saw a little bit of that. I mean, I think you certainly saw it on the Browns side that it seemed to get them maybe playing a little bit over their heads. And they played most of this game without two of their best offensive linemen. And still, that offensive line played really, really well. The question to me is, can you sustain that? You can sustain it for a week. Can you sustain it for 2 weeks?
And the crazy thing about the offensive line that you're talking about is, I believe I heard during the fourth quarter that they were talking about how the offensive line coach didn't even know some of the players' names of the guys he was actually coaching because they're that new on the Browns. And because he's not actually the offensive line coach, but he's the offensive line coach tonight. So there's that too. So, and honestly, you look at this game and how crazy do you think Stefanski has to be going right now? He's sitting at home watching this, watching his team do what they're doing. How crazy do you think he has to be going on his watching this game?
Oh yeah. I mean, and Betonio and Denzel Ward. I mean, you got to think,
oh yeah, those guys too.
They're champing at the bit to get back. Now that the rest of the guys have gotten them through, they're ready for it. I think it's to me, it's tough to sustain that emotion for 2 weeks. So let's see what happens. But yeah, this is an impressive effort we saw tonight.
It's quite a group that is missing. You guys mentioned all of them in terms of injury. They lost a tackle tonight. So little bit more banged up. That might be something.
Guard too.
Oh, a guard as well. I thought Teller played great. You know, they could be down a couple of different people next week, hopefully when they're past all the COVID nonsense. At that point, Matt, from your perspective, having beaten the same team 2 weeks in a row, A, to get in the playoffs and then get your first playoff win of this season, and certainly one of the better ones in history if you're a Browns fan, how do you go about trying to cobble that back together and keep that edge? I don't see a way that it's able to be done.
Yeah, that's what I think is going to be tough because, you know, yeah, the guys coming back are you would think they're going to be on edge. And we haven't even talked about, you know, a guy who's frankly a role player on this team, but is going to have a chip on their shoulder in Kareem Hunt.
Absolutely.
Didn't see a lot from him tonight, but
2 touchdowns.
You saw him in some key situations. It's going to be a revenge game for Kareem Hunt. So he's going to be one of those guys that he's probably going to be trying to fire up guys to make sure that they're ready to back him up there. But yeah, I mean, it's difficult to do. I mean, especially the playoffs are an emotional time to be able to sustain that emotion that they've certainly had to play with tonight. I mean, I don't think there's any way that if you're the Cleveland Browns, you can go out and put on an effort like this at Pittsburgh, even without, you know, most of the fans. I don't think you can do that without just, you know, playing at a ridiculous level and putting the effort up 2 weeks in a row or even three if you want to go back to week 17. I think that's going to be tough to do. Although, once again, I think the Browns have been playing some of their best football this season in the last 4 to 5 weeks.
I have to agree with that. One thing I will say that is absolutely phenomenal to me is with all of the injuries and all the injury issues that it appears that this Browns team has because of COVID and whatnot on the offensive line, not one sack on Baker Mayfield tonight. Phenomenal job by the offensive line just to be able to keep their quarterback upright. And you look at Baker's stats, really, they're not that great. 21 of 34 for 263 and 3 touchdowns. No interceptions, obviously. That's a huge difference compared to Ben Roethlisberger. But, you know, 21 for 34, I mean, that's less than 60%. Your completion percentage isn't that great. So definitely something to work on there. But his, you know, yards per completion is pretty decent.
I mean, and let's face it. I mean, injuries have taken a lot out of this Pittsburgh defense over the last 6 weeks.
But the degree is huge.
And especially the pass rush. So that's been an issue. But it was really impressive the way to me that the Browns handled the blitz because that's what Pittsburgh does. And they really ate it up. I mean, you know, some of the biggest plays the Browns had were just simply taking advantage of the Browns blitz and throwing the ball where they weren't and where they were vacating. And that's going to be interesting because now Steve Spagnuolo is not going to blitz as much as the Pittsburgh Steelers do. Not going to happen. But he's going to do it selectively. And that's going to be the key is if they can catch Baker Mayfield napping a little bit and catch him by surprise because tonight he was not surprised.
And I thought a couple of those touchdowns went on pretty short plays there. I think both of Hunt's were catches. We'll have to get into that. And when we come back from this, I want to get into some of what we expect to see based on what we see tonight, applying it towards this next week against the Chiefs. Built Bar is back along with Built Go and has some great new things for you to try. Some of them are flavors. Some of them are new mixtures, new concepts in what Built does. So check out Built Bar, Built Go, and the whole nine yards. My personal favorite still remains that caramel brownie, and I like that coconut one as well.
Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for the keto diet. Go check out the peanut butter. It has 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. It is absolutely delicious, in my opinion. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
So as we look from where this team is tonight, the Cleveland Browns getting it done, quite frankly, a lot fell into their lap. A question, Matt, probably the premier pass rusher that we didn't hear much about is Myles Garrett. I'm not sure what that does for his matchup probably next week against Eric Fisher. We'll see who the right tackle is as well. But I felt like the interior of the Browns defensive line did a better job and actually instigated a lot of the pressure that came tonight.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. I mean, because, you know, the Browns really attacked the tendencies of Ben Roethlisberger. And obviously the biggest one is just getting rid of the ball quickly and trying to get their arms up as quickly as they can. And just trying to clog up those passing lanes. you're not going to be able to do that against Patrick Mahomes as easily. I mean, you're going to have to do things a little bit differently. I mean, and we've seen, I mean, the way that you can mitigate Patrick Mahomes is, you know, you're going to have to drop people back and then let your pass rushers go after him. And, you know, the Browns didn't have to do that tonight. So we'll see. I mean, they might have that club in their back, and they're going to have to, because their corners can't keep up with what the Chiefs have at wide receiver. I mean, they just don't have it. I mean, there's, bless his heart, good dude and all, there's a reason why Terrence Mitchell is no longer in Kansas City. So, and even though he's seen these guys before, that's not going to be much of an advantage. So, I think that's what the Browns are going to have to do. I think they're going to have to do exactly what they did tonight, which is adapt to the opponent. But what worked against Pittsburgh is not going to work against Patrick Mahomes.
They're showing that we're recording during the very end of this game. Ben Roethlisberger, 47 completions of 68 attempts, 501 yards and 4 TDs and 4 interceptions in a losing effort for the Pittsburgh Steelers. To me, one of the stories, and you talk about pass rush with Cleveland, one of the stories of this game for me is Myles Garrett being on one side and the Steelers still double teaming him. And the Browns putting 3 other people on the other side of the ball, trying to get their pass rush going and not really getting there. So, they're going to have to do better against Kansas City and pressure Mahomes with 4 people. And that's going to be something that's going to be very hard for them to do.
Yeah. And it would be interesting to see how Steve Spagnuolo ends up deciding to tackle Myles Garrett and what they're going to do and what the game plan is going to be.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I'm trying to figure out if that's an advantage if you try to let him go one-on-one against what could be Mike Remmers, knock on wood. We'll find out here in the next couple of days. But that said, overall, this performance from the Browns, defensively, I think they got a lot of breaks. Like you said earlier, Matt, Patrick's not going to give up the ball 4 times. That said, they also allowed a pretty healthy amount. I mean, there's 37 points on the board for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That isn't exactly an outing that makes me cringe about what the Chiefs are going to be able to do offensively in any way.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of the Browns in the second half was, you know, sure, a little bit of prevent defense and let Roethlisberger have his way a little bit. But, you know, and Pittsburgh has no run game. So, you know, and the Chiefs have not exactly been a dynamic run game either. So, I mean, that's going to be like a little bit of a question mark. You know, if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back healthy, then the Chiefs have a stronger ground game than the Steelers do by far. But, you know, I think you're going to have to do a little bit of everything. And it's not going to look the same way. I mean, are there holes in the Browns' pass defense? Yes, absolutely. Is Patrick Mahomes going to have to throw the ball 68 times to get to 501 yards? No, he would not have to. I mean, that was just a little
bit. He might throw for 700 yards with those kind of attempts.
Yeah, if he had 68 attempts against the Browns, I would say that, yeah, you're probably going to see 750 on the board and 13 touchdowns. I mean, it'll be Madden kind of numbers. It won't be because he turned the ball over 4 times and only put 37 points on the board.
Yeah, only 37 points. I love how you say that. Like I said, you go back and you look at this game, really, if the Browns don't get spotted as many points as they did, Pittsburgh probably wins this game. But to me, the story of this game, obviously, the Cleveland Browns have been playing better than the Steelers have in the past couple of weeks, and that's what ended up beating them in this game. And Ben Roethlisberger, you have to wonder whether or not he's going to, it sounds like he's going to come back, but whether or not he's going to be as welcome back in Pittsburgh, considering his $41 million cap number for next year.
Yeah, and I think it's notable you bring up the Browns at the end of the season, because, you know, they did have, you look at the schedule and you see 2 losses, but remember, one was a really good loss to the Ravens. I mean, they put 42 points on the board and lost. Now they gave up 47. That's a problem. But that, you know, the Ravens are playing really good football too. That's not a bad loss. And yeah, the Jets,
you made a great point. 47, they allowed 47 points. I mean, that's, yeah. Kansas City is going to take that.
And they lost to the Jets, but remember, they didn't have their wide receiver group of that game, so you can almost throw it out to a degree. But this team's been playing well. I mean, they've got a lot of confidence. That's going to certainly help them. But you're right. I mean, the Chiefs can't spot them points. If they give up 24-0 lead like they did last year, yeah, that's a problem. They can't have that kind of start again.
It's going to be interesting to me when we take a first take at what some of these matchups are going to be. Jarvis Landry, clearly the passing target to really be nervous about. He's going to see probably Snead in the slot, I think. Honestly, I'm not terribly worried about. Jarvis is going to get his receptions. But I think the bigger issue is on the other side, all of a sudden, Hooper shows up. And I don't know that given the Chiefs linebacker core that they have enough to really try to corral him. That means Sorensen coming down a lot. It means playing Juan Thornhill a lot of snaps. How do you feel about those two matchups, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think that's kind of what you're looking at as far as a lineup would go. I mean, especially if, you know, this is for real and, you know, and the Browns are going to keep Hooper and be able to get him a big part of the rotation again and really get the ball to him, then, yeah, I mean, I think you are going to have to see some extra safeties coming into the ball game and you're going to see a lot of sub packages. May see that anyway because of just we don't know yet where the Chiefs are injury-wise. We know Hitchens is back, don't know where Gay is, don't know where Ben Neiman is. There's some question marks there. So I think you're right. I mean, you probably are talking about a lot of Dan Sorensen, a lot of Juan Thornhill. The key to me, though, is just that you can't give up the chunk plays. I mean, Landry had the big 40-yard catch, you know, and so many of those the yards that Landry had were yards after the catch, and you just can't give that up. And so part of that, absolutely, I mean, Snead's going to be drawing, I think, a big assignment there. But, you know, you've got to have the safeties behind making plays because they can't be getting extra yards after the catch like that.
The guy that scares me the most about Cleveland coming in is Nick Chubb, because while he didn't have a huge yardage total tonight, he broke off that 40-yard play, same length as Landry. So the two big plays came with him. And he has that ability to attack the Chiefs downhill with power. And then if you let him get a crease, he can take it all the way home, too.
Yeah, I mean, you saw that tonight. I mean, he gets a little bit and he can break it. I mean, he's got the ability. He's got speed, but he's also got the size that he can run inside. He can do a lot of different things to you. And that was a great graphic at the end of the game that, you know, this is a guy that's averaging 10 yards a touch in the ground game in the fourth quarter this season. That's ridiculous. I mean, and, you know, and that I think that just speaks to the fact that you give him an inch and he's going to take a mile. He's that kind of back. He can do that. Chiefs are going to have to clog the holes. I mean, that's just, you know, part of it. I mean, they can't let Cleveland dictate the terms that they did tonight when they had the football. I mean, they absolutely did. I mean, they dominated the Steelers, I think, by and large. Maybe not as much when they started going a little bit vanilla in the second half. But overall, that offensive line played really well. And if they play at that level and they give Chubb that kind of look, it's going to be really big. It's going to be big on the interior of the line. It's going to be big on that linebacker level to make sure that you don't let Chubb get extra yards.
Well, and you talk about the linebacker level, and that's a level that we just don't know where they're going to be at this week, because we know Hitchens will be back. But the question is, do they have Willie Gay? Do they have Ben Neiman? Is Wilson back? I mean, he was hurt during the game. I think he got hurt again during the Week 17 game, or at least they stopped playing him, and they had Saunders playing linebacker. So big questions there when it comes to that side of the ball for Kansas City. And the linebacker group has been questionable, probably one of the weakest positions that Kansas City has.
I'm so glad you brought him up. Matt, if it's just me, I'm going to come out there. I'm going to put Saunders in on first down. I'm just going to let him have the triangle of death and let them try to run Chubb. Is that crazy?
That's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy. Well, it's real crazy. It's real crazy.
I think it'd be fun.
But you know what? I mean, you know what, though? I mean, you know, and speaking just specifically to the interior of the line, the Chiefs have actually been decent against the run, especially of late. I mean, I think a big part of it's just been the guys that they've been coming on with. I mean, you know, Pinnell's definitely a part of that as a niche player, but, you know, Naughty seems like he's getting a little bit stronger. Remember, he started the season, you know, coming back from the surgery in the offseason, so he was still a little bit slow. Really been up to speed of late. You know, and Tershawn Wharton just continues to get stronger and stronger. And so I think that the Chiefs are tougher there. Yeah, you're right. Maybe they need some Colin Saunders at linebacker. No, they don't.
Thanks for entertaining me, though. That's it.
I'd almost rather see Anthony Sherman get some linebacker snaps.
I can get down with that. That's awesome.
Come on, Matt.
Matt suggested it, not me.
That's just playing right into Ryan's hands.
I'm just rubber stamping that one.
I'm an instigator. I know. I'm an instigator.
Well, at the end of the day, we don't know who we're going to see out there. We'll have more for you coming up. But Matt, just last thought. Does this game give you any pause? Anything in particular you're concerned about when they come into Kansas City?
I mean, I guess I should, because Cleveland scored 48 points, but once again, I mean, we talked about it a couple of times. I don't see Patrick Mahomes turning over the ball four times in a game, possibly ever, but certainly not in a situation like this. I just don't see that. I mean, I think that the Browns are going to have to play their best football. I saw early on, you know, the early spread looks like it's 8.5. Chiefs favored. And honestly, I mean, I think that's probably about right. I mean, right now, my prediction is probably going to be somewhere in that ballpark, maybe Chiefs covering. But no, I mean, I don't think I feel a whole lot different about this game than I did before they kicked, you know, before the Browns won this one in the way that they did. I think it's a bit of an aberration. I mean, they're playing good football, give them credit, but I can't see them doing in Kansas City what they did in Pittsburgh.
Really quick, just because you were talking about the Browns and the way things worked out. Obviously, the snap gave the Browns a 7-point advantage right off the start. And then their first drive was 46 yards for a touchdown. Second drive was 65 yards for a touchdown. And their third drive was 15 yards for a touchdown. And that was all in the first quarter. So, you know, at that point, they had barely gone over 100 yards of offense and already had 28 points.
But, you know, the way that the Browns beat them, I don't think it was rust. I mean, I think it was that the Browns came in with a game plan that was well suited to take advantage of the weaknesses of Roethlisberger and the Steelers offense. And like I said, that's not going to translate to Kansas City. If they came into Kansas City with that exact same game plan, I think the Chiefs absolutely roll them. They're not going to be able to do that. So the question is whether they can figure out a way to slow down the Chiefs. And right now, I just don't see it happening.
I think it's going to be a tall order. Matt's going to be back later in the week as we break down more matchups. There's lots that we still have to talk about, but thanks for the time, Matt.
Absolutely. Great talking, Matt, to you guys.
I have one last quick question, really quick. Do you think they've been holding back the past couple of weeks, the Chiefs? I just want to get you on record. I'm just curious.
That's about my answer.
Fair.
They certainly did in week 17 because they ran a Chad Henne offense. So,
right.
You know, there's that. You know, I'm going to let Andy Reid speak to, you know, take him at his word, you know, that, hey, you run the plays that you think you're going to win the game and it's not about holding anything back. But yeah, I mean, absolutely, they're going to have some wrinkles. But I also think that, remember, I've said this before, Andy Reid, it's a symphony. I mean, you know, that's the way he really almost sees a football season. You know, so what he calls in week 12 has an impact in the sense that, you know what, he's thinking long term. He's thinking that if he shows something to a defense on film at some point late in the season, that he can show them the same look and do something different. So, you know, holding back in the sense that, yeah, I guess maybe he's calling plays now only to set them up for down the road, because I think that's definitely part of Andy Reid's MO.
I think so, too. And this is just the beginning of the crescendo. He's got three games to plan and execute. I'm looking forward to it. Folks, thanks for listening to us tonight. Hope you have a great week. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Matt will be here the day after that. Have a good one, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.